You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
My life is fantasy 24/7 and not just sports. As you listen to the show, you know that. People are lining up now with their questions for the talented Mr. Roto. And again, he does not do a lot of radio shows. He's busy with TV and all that stuff, and we're lucky to have him every single Thursday. So make an appointment every Thursday, 2 o'clock, Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto. Do you have any dilemmas this week, John?
Only one. Odell Beckham, who I didn't even get
any. Oh, he's out.
Yeah, and I played him against you, and I didn't need him. But he's out, and I've got to find somebody to replace him. But I think I'm going to play Nelson Aguilar, the old USC wide receiver.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick.
Who's in New England this year. I'll ask Matthew about it when we get him. Do we have him, Jorge?
We are close.
Okay.
We are close to having him. By the way, waiver wire picked up that Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, well, hey, really by the way, how do you know who you got?
Lenny told me, our commissioner said, yeah, you're going to get him.
Okay.
That was a really good pick, I think. And he's available on a lot of waiver wires right now. Joining us right now is the talented Mr. Roto, Matthew Berry. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Ready for some football tonight. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Now, Matthew, are you there was once a day where you were a Washington football team fan, were you not?
I still am.
Okay, you've hung on to your fan. You've hung on to your fandom through everything, through the name change and all of it.
I've tried to get rid of it. It is in my blood. It is one of. I've tried to get rid of it, but since I was 5 years old, I lived in Virginia till I was 12, and you know, ever since I could, you know, basically walk and hold a football, I've been rooting for Washington.
Okay, so tonight,
in my blood.
Tonight they're a favorite against the Giants, but let's talk about what it means for fantasy purposes. Mason was one of the people that had Ryan Fitzpatrick. How big of a drop off is losing Fitzpatrick and going to Heinicke? And is Heinicke somebody that if you're in a fantasy league you would want to pick up?
Certainly their schedule gets a little easier. I don't know that this is a super easy matchup. It's one of the lowest over-unders on the slate. It's actually the lowest. And so we don't expect a ton of scoring tonight. Giants actually have a pretty good defense. And, you know, you've got Heinicke now on a short week. I like Heinicke. Look, I like him. Obviously had that gutty playoff performance against the Buccaneers last year. On a pure numbers basis, Taylor Heinicke played the best against the Buccaneers defense than any other quarterback. He had better numbers than Mahomes. He had better numbers than Aaron Rodgers. Like, he had better numbers than every quarterback that faced Buccaneers defense during that playoff run. Having said that, I mean, they went up for and got Ryan Fitzpatrick for a reason. I think it's a slight downgrade from Fitz to Heinicke, at least now. Fantasy-wise, I think Heinicke's interesting just because I think he'll add some value with his legs. He's more mobile than he gets credit for. I'm not starting him tonight. I'm not picking up him necessarily unless I'm in a deeper league or two-quarterback league. But I do think he potentially has some value down the road. And he's certainly somebody that I think, if, to the extent that you have Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, you have Washington football players on your fantasy team, I think he's going to be fine to get them the ball, and the offense will continue to run fairly well.
One other question about tonight. So I just mentioned that I picked up Sterling Shepard off the waiver wire. I read my Fantasy Life email that I get every single day, top to bottom, and you said this was one of the great.
How good is that email, right?
It's so good. It's got so much great information. I use it every single day. Sterling Shepard is available on a lot of waiver wires. Is he a wide receiver three now?
I think so. Look, Daniel Jones got the most chemistry with Sterling Shepard. It was a tough matchup last week against Denver, and where you want to attack Denver is in the slot. I do think Sterling Shepard, if you look at his career, he's been better in the slot than he has been outside. And so with the addition of Kenny Golladay, and they've got Darius Slayton on the outside, Shepard can now play in the slot. And so that's a place where he's more comfortable and he's been more productive fantasy-wise over the course of his career. I do think, like, injuries have been an issue for him and his career, but as long as he's healthy, very viable wide receiver three. Not an easy matchup tonight. We'll see a lot of Kendall Fuller. But, overall, I do like Shepard as a top 30 wide receiver for the rest of the year.
We're talking to Matthew Berry from ESPN, our favorite fantasy guy of all time. Matthew, we've got some callers that have questions with about the game tonight and whether or not to play Saquon Barkley. Here's Ron in Torrance. Ron, you're on with Matthew Berry. What's your dilemma?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I just had a question. Do you think I should start Barkley or Henderson? Barkley gave me a goose egg last week. What do you think?
So Daryl Henderson or Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, give me Henderson. I mean, right? I mean, first off, Henderson looked great. He got almost all the touches for the Rams last week. Yeah, they'll start to get Sony Michel involved, but I don't know that it will be in a significant way, at least in this week. I don't like what I saw out of Barkley last week. He didn't get a lot of touches. He didn't look like Saquon Barkley. Now it's a short week after that game in Denver, so they had to travel back east for a short week. Games in Washington tonight. Washington was, you know, a pretty good run defense last week. They shut down Austin Eckler. He got the short touchdown. This was the chance that Barkley falls in the end zone, but I prefer Daryl Henderson going against the Colts, who did not look impressive last week in any way, shape, or form. I mean, Seattle took it to him on every level.
All right, here's Mark in Long Beach who has a question involving Saquon Barkley. Hey, Mark, you're on with Matthew Berry. What's your question?
Hey, how you doing? I have Saquon Barkley or James Conner.
That's a tough one.
Barkley's favored by one.
You know what? No, I know. I'm out on Barkley. I mean, I would
really?
Probably go with James Conner and hope. I am. Listen, they're playing Minnesota. Minnesota got, like, I mean, Joe Mixon destroyed the Vikings last week, right? And that's not a particularly good offensive line. Conner is splitting time with Chase Edmonds, obviously, but he's going to get the goal line work. He got the majority of the red zone touches last week for Arizona. That's an explosive offense. And that's, by the way, that game, Vikings-Cardinals, has over under 51. Like, it's one of the highest projected scoring games of the week. So, Barkley, I feel like Barkley's in a timeshare, too, just because they don't want to use him that much. I mean, he didn't get that many touches last week. It's a worse matchup for Barkley. He's kind of in a committee, at least this week, because they want to limit his touches. So, if you're choosing between running backs in a committee, I prefer the one on the better offense in a higher scoring environment, which is James Conner.
Let me get a couple of tweets in. Luisio tweets, Melvin Gordon or Miles Sanders?
Miles Sanders or who?
Melvin Gordon.
Oh, Melvin Gordon or Miles Sanders. I'm going to Miles Sanders.
Flex spot for Jonathan Watson, Ronald Jones or Zach Ertz?
No, Ronald Jones. And Arians already came out and said he's going to start. That Tampa Bay offense, it's a great matchup with Atlanta. Only one team gave up more rushing yards last week than the Falcons. It's Ronald Jones, even though he's part of a committee. Like, Ertz, we just don't know how much, you know, how much work he's going
to
get.
One more tweet, and then we'll get back to the phone. Sam Darnold or Joe Burrow? Evo for Life wants to know.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow. I thought Joe Burrow looked pretty good last week. I mean, you know, Ja'Marr Chase was as advertised. And the Bears secondary, man, like, the Bears secondary, you guys got to see that up close, seeing how Stafford just carved him up last week. That Bears secondary is a work in progress. So
Mace,
Joe Burrow.
Mace, ask him the one for your team, because I think that one's interesting.
Okay, George Kittle or T. Higgins?
Yeah, that is interesting. I just talked up how Bears defense struggles and Joe Burrow looked good last week, but I think I'm still going with George Kittle.
Okay.
You know, traditionally the Eagles have not been good against tight ends. The way they put their defense together, they don't put a lot of emphasis on their linebackers. And so I do think Kittle, especially with Brandon Ayuk in the doghouse for San Francisco, I think Kittle has the better day.
Hey,
but
Matthew,
that's a nice problem to have, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Matthew, who's the number one receiver, in your opinion, for Mac Jones in New England?
I still think it's Jacoby Myers. Look, I get it. Nelson Aguilar looked like he got the number one targets, but I feel like that was a really tough matchup last week against the Dolphins, who have two of the best corners in the NFL.
I think, much easier sledding against the Jets, and I think we'll have a much better sense of what the Patriots offense is going to look like after this week than we did last week. So it's hard to really say off of one game. I still prefer Jacoby Myers to Nelson Agholor, although I do think Agholor is going to have more value this year than I think people initially thought in the pre-draft process. He looked good last week, Agholor did.
Here's Alex in L.A. Hey, Alex, you're on with the talented Mr. Roto. What's your question for Matthew Berry, Alex?
Hey, guys, flex position, Amari Cooper or Chris Carson?
Man, oh, man. Man, that's a tough one. Carson's more, you know, I think both, listen, here's what I think. I think you can't screw it up because I think Carson at home against the Titans has a monster game. But I don't know how you bench Amari Cooper after what we just saw Dallas do last week against a tough Tampa Bay defense. But playing the Chargers, you know, just down the road from you guys there, and I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in that game. The over-under in that game is 55. It's literally the second highest on the slate, just slightly behind Kansas City, Baltimore. Assuming you're in a PPR league, I'd go Cooper. But, again, I don't think you can screw it up because I do think Carson has a big game.
All right, here's Sean in Lameda. Hey, Sean, what's your question for Matthew Berry?
Hey, Sean. Guys, I got four guys for three. Yeah, hello.
Sean, you're on the air. Go.
Okay, four guys for three spots. I have CeeDee Lamb, Adam Thielen, Tyler Lockett, and Antonio Brown. Who am I leaving out?
Tyler Lockett, Antonio Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and who's the four?
Thielen, Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen. And you need two of those?
Three of them.
He just needed one to drop. So Thielen is the guy you drop.
Thielen, CeeDee Lamb, CeeDee Lamb, Lockett, Thielen, and
Antonio Brown.
Oh, God.
Those are all pretty good options.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't drop any of them. Like, I'd trade something. You know, I'd trade something in terms of who I'm benching this week.
No, not just to start. Who should I start?
I would bench Thielen. I don't think you can bench Lamb, Lockett, or Antonio Brown. Can you, Matthew?
I mean, no. I mean, like, I don't want to say I'd bench any of them. I guess if I'm picking one person to bench, I guess maybe Antonio Brown, just because he had such a big game last week, and, you know, Brady likes to spread it around. Is this week a big Mike Evans week? Because he's sort of quiet in week one. They're playing Atlanta. Atlanta's not going to have the firepower to keep up with Tampa Bay the way Dallas did. It's a, you know, a slightly lower score, and maybe they try to get their run game established against the Falcons. Like, again, I don't think you can screw it up because I love all four guys. Antonio Brown actually made my love list this week. But I'm just, you know, you can't bench, if you're like, you can't bench Lockett after last week. Well, you can't bench CeeDee Lamb after last week. Well, you can't bench Adam Thielen after last week. Like, you know what I mean? They're all, so it's just like,
embarrassment of riches.
The toughest spot. It's an embarrassment of riches, but I guess if I had to pick one, I'd pick. I have all of them inside my top 20, but probably I would go with Brown. I think he's probably the riskiest of those wide receivers.
Okay, a couple of tweets. Joseph A. wants to know, Big Ben or Kyler Murray?
Stop it.
I mean,
tell him to
asking.
Delete this tweet.
Delete the tweet? All
anybody
right.
Kyler who benches Murray, but Kyler Murray is an idiot.
Come on.
Bench Kyler Murray.
Well, it's Brand? Like, right, it's Kyler Murray or stop it. You had me at Kyler Murray. Like,
right.
You're starting Kyler Murray, and he should delete the tweet. You shouldn't have anyone out there in the public know that he asked, but he really was deciding between Kyler Murray or Ben Roethlisberger.
Brandon, PPR League, Deebo Samuel or Juju Schuster-Smith?
Or Smith-Schuster.
Oh, Smith-Schuster.
I like Deebo. It's Smith-Schuster. Juju Smith-Schuster. But it's I'm going to go with Deebo. Brandon Ayuk still seems to be in the doghouse there. They're going to have to throw. There's a lot of weapons there for the Steelers. I think it's a big Najee Harris game at home against Raiders, who are traveling, obviously, on a short week after playing five quarters in an emotional Monday night win.
Okay. Last one, Herbert or Brady?
Again, I don't think you can screw that one up. I have Brady slightly ahead of Herbert, but both guys can have big games this week. So
okay.
I'll go Brady, but both guys really good.
All right, Matthew, last thing for me. There was some talk this year in our league, and I know it's a conversation that comes up in every league, and if I'm not mistaken, you wrote about it in your book. It was a chapter in one of your books. To add an embarrassment penalty for the team that finishes last.
Mm.
What's the bet? What's the best one of those? I know you've heard hundreds of them. What's your favorite one? What's your favorite penalty that someone had to pay off for finishing last in a fantasy football league?
Well, I'll answer that two ways. My favorite one, like, I think the tattoos are great. You know, like where the loser of the league has to get a tattoo chosen by the winner. I think that I've seen people that have to, like, they have to play in it. They have to go into a parade. They have to enter into, like, a local parade that, you know, and their float is 50 loser. And they have to, like, you know, go through and, like, sort of, you know, wave to the crowd. Those are pretty good. So those are my favorites just to sort of watch. You know, there's another one that I love where I've seen this a couple of times where you remember the famous scene in Game of Thrones where Cersei has to walk through the street.
Shame.
So I've seen a couple of leagues do that where the loser of the league has to, you know, is basically in their boxers and they're wearing a, you know, a sign that says fantasy loser, a sandwich board. And then everyone in the league is dressed up in robes, you know, with bells, you know, shame. And they walk through a town. In terms of ones that I think are doable, you know, if that's too intense, this one is just for originality, because I've only seen one league do this once, is they went to, you know, like in elementary schools, they'll have those 8-foot hoops, those basketball hoops that are like only 8 feet tall for little kids.
Right.
So they all went to an elementary school, and the loser of the league had to stand under the basket where the rest of the league dunked on him. Because they all got the chance to come and dunk on him. And they videotaped it, and they, you know, they did slow motion and music, and, you know, get into like Sports Center highlight reels, and, you know, guys are hanging on the rim and putting their legs around them, you know, a la Shaq, and, like, you know, just really having fun. So I thought that one's really, really creative. I'll give you two more that I think are super creative off the top of my head. One is that the loser of the league has to display a fat head that the winner chooses in their room for a year. So this is, I've only seen one league do it. They're actually in San Diego. And so they usually choose a picture of themselves, you know, whether it's like them on the toilet or them, like, you know, smoking a cigarette, them, like, an ugly picture of themselves, you know, looking smug that the loser has to have up in his bedroom. And the one league that does this is a bunch of, like, single guys in their 20s. So it's like, you know, it's tough when you bring company back, and that's hanging on the wall. And so that one, and then there's a league in Brooklyn, New York, where the loser of the league has to dress as a lion, and the rest of the league chases him with paintball guns, hunts him down.
I love that.
Those are
love
all
that.
Awesome.
Too.
Okay, yeah. Matthew, the Fantasy Life app is obviously unbelievable. I get the email every single day. How do people get a hold of that?
And just go to fantasylife.com, and there's a link that says newsletter. Just sign up. It's 100% free. It comes to your email box every single morning. It's everything you need to know about fantasy football. There's also a link to sign up on my Twitter. If you go to @MatthewBerryTMR, there's a link underneath. You can sign up there. But either way, it's really it's great stuff. And listen, it's a free newsletter. If you hate it, just unsubscribe. But check that out. And, of course, you can always check out the Fantasy Life app at fantasylifeapp.com also, or wherever you get apps, 100% free. And I'll be doing my podcast for ESPN tomorrow morning. So
cool.
Awesome.
And we'll talk more about everything of week 2.
All right. Hey, Matthew, we appreciate you doing this very much. Thank you a lot for your time. I know you're super busy, but we appreciate always making time for us.
Always, my friend. Good luck to week 2.
All right, man. Thanks, man.
Thanks. There's Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto, every Thursday, 2 o'clock.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so Greg, you want us to keep going here, right? Okay, so Mace, I want to ask you a question about something happened to me on this trip.
Yes.
So on my flight to Charlotte.
Yes.
LaMelo Ball was in the airport.
Really?
Okay.
In the airport, not on your flight.
Yeah, not on my flight, but he was in the airport. And as I told you before, I was going to North Carolina with James Worthy. One of those people was way more popular than the other in the airport. Which one do you think it was?
Well, it's in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably James Worthy.
It was, and it wasn't close. It wasn't close, but he just won Rookie of the Year.
But it's a Hall of Famer versus a Rookie of the Year. Now, I think LaMelo's going to be unbelievable. I think he's going to be an all-star. Love the guy. But I mean, James Worthy is James Worthy.
Yeah, I got the feeling that most people didn't recognize LaMelo. Would you? If LaMelo was walking through LA Live, would you recognize him?
I think I would. He was my fantasy team last year, and I watched a number of Charlotte games, so I probably could.
But, you know, it was fun to watch that play out. And, you know, because it was, you know, you always say if you walk into a restaurant and what, like one guy's in one corner and somebody's in the other, but this was not close. It was, Worthy was way more popular.
I have friends that still can't believe you play golf with James Worthy every day or almost every day.
No, I wish almost every, he plays almost every day. I play probably twice a week with him. But, yeah, he played great. Boy, he won all the money in Carolina. He was great.
So I want to talk about, and we'll continue this. I want to talk about the announcement. I guess not the announcement, but the story that Rich Paul says that AD is going to play the 5 this season and LeBron is going to play the 4 this
season.
Well,
yeah, what's being reported is that he was telling people Rich was telling people at the draft combine that that was likely. That LeBron's going to play a lot of 4 this year and AD's going to play a lot of 5.
Now, the most effective lineup the Lakers have is with AD at the 5. It always is. You know, that's why they go to it late in games. They go to it in stretches. The impact of this is going to be gigantic, I think, on a night-to-night basis.
Well, if it's true, and I think there's a strong possibility that it is, it would be great news for Laker fans because that means you would have Westbrook at the 1, LeBron at the 4, AD at the 5, and then fill it out however you want. But I don't know how you defend that team if you're the other team. I just don't. I think because Anthony Davis can take you away from the basket. He can post you up down low. It's, as you point out, it's their most successful lineup statistically. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of a team in the league that could defend that, and I don't know of one.
Now, AD will not be on the floor all the time, obviously, but you wonder what the impact is on Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan.
Well, it would be that AD would then just slide to the 4.
And right, LeBron, but I'm saying how many minutes now? We were thinking like 16 minutes apiece. Now we're probably thinking less than that, right?
No, not necessarily. I mean, because AD, if let's say AD plays 35 minutes a game, all right?
Yep.
Even if he played 18 minutes at, you know, split it down the middle. If he plays 18 minutes at the 4 and 18 minutes at the 5, that's still, you need a center for those other 18 minutes. And when LeBron's out of the game, you would mix and match too. I think, you know, that's going to be the biggest challenge of Frank Vogel's, you know, in his chair this year is finding minutes for all these guys.
Yeah.
Because they could go 10 or 11 deep. There's going to be, and I heard an interview with Melo the other day. There's going to be days where some of these star players play 30 minutes and some of them play 0. You know, that's just the way the team's built. They're going to have to check their egos at the door and all compete for a title, which I think they're willing to do. By the way, I saw in the rundown that you guys were trying to figure out who the 5th starter would be. And you guys were suggesting Ellington, Bazemore, Kendrick Nunn. I think if this is true, it opens up the door for Carmelo.
Okay, let's hold that right now. 877-710-ESPN. What do you think the impact is of Anthony Davis being willing now to play the 5 as the starter and LeBron moving over to the 4? And who fills out that lineup? Obviously, Russ at the 1. Who's the 2? Who's the 3? 877-710-ESPN. We'll do some Lakers coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right.
Update.
Slam
update.
Diego Love. Nice.
Two-run double for Tommy Pham. Padres 4, Giants nothing.
We're coming.
Top of the fifth, and Eric Hosmer's up with two outs.
This would leave us, if it holds, one single game behind the Giants in the National League West. And by the way, big series coming up. Dodgers are at Cincinnati. Giants host the Atlanta Braves, who still are in a divisional race, so big games for the Braves. This weekend could turn the whole thing. We got to win at Cincinnati, and Atlanta's got to beat up on San Francisco. Two losses in a row, maybe, let's hope. That maybe they hit the skids. Maybe their hot streak is over. By the way, Ireland, you tweeted out the results of our fantasy football matchup.
Well, actually, it was nice to you. I tweeted out the results before I played Waller on Monday, and Waller added like another 15 points.
Yeah. You know, somebody, Kyle Downey, tweets, "Aw, Mace, well, it's only 1 week. Be a goldfish. Be a goldfish."
There you go. Are you up to speed on Ted Lasso?
I am. Yes. By the way, he mentioned the shame walk. I don't know if people know this. The woman who yelled shame and rang the bell when Cersei made the naked walk to the Red Keep or whatever.
Yeah, some
the hell
famous
it was.
Actress, right?
It's the lady who plays the owner on Ted Lasso.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Hannah Waddington, the woman who plays, I forget what her name is, but Ted Lasso's boss, is the one who rang the shame bell.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
I know that there was, I think it was Diana Rigg that was in Game of Thrones that was really famous. She was in the Avengers when she was younger.
Did you see Jason Sudeikis next year getting $1 million an episode for Ted Lasso?
Well, it's the hottest show on TV.
It's so good. All right, so let's talk about this Lakers thing. So it's being reported that Rich Paul has indicated that Anthony Davis is going to play the five and LeBron James is going to play the four. Obviously, Russ at the one. The impact of this is huge because all of the most effective lineups for the Lakers this year, over the past few years, has had Anthony Davis at the five. And remember, do you realize we're less than a month away from the first preseason game?
Well, and the first preseason game is against the Nets. In what could be a preview of the NBA Finals. That's that crazy day I keep telling you about where the Lakers, Dodgers, and Rams all play basically at the same time, all in L.A. It starts with Dodgers at noon at Dodger Stadium, last game of the regular season against Milwaukee. Then 12:30 Lakers-Nets at Staples, 1 o'clock Rams-Cardinals at SoFi, all on October 3rd.
Wow. It could be for everything.
Yeah, that's going to be an absolutely crazy day in L.A. sports. And, who knows what that'll mean for the Dodgers.
It could be for everything. It's terrible that we draw Milwaukee in the last series of the year. That is really bad luck because Milwaukee's very good.
Yeah, but they may be, who knows? Both teams may be locked in.
They may already be locked in. You're right. And then they won't throw Brandon Woodruff or Corbin Burns or any other aces at us because they're lining up their rotation for the postseason. I think we're going to see – first of all, I think we're going to get Dodgers-Giants in the first round of the playoffs, no matter what happens.
Not in the wild card game. Obviously.
No, not in the wild card game, but in the first round. So Dodgers win the wild card game, play Giants in the first round of the playoffs, NLDS, or Giants win the playoff game, Dodgers-Giants first round, NLDS. We're for the first time ever going to have a matchup between the Dodgers and the Giants in the postseason.
Crazy.
Never happened before. Would be just an absolute throwdown for history.
And if you're just joining us, 4-0 Padres, bottom of the fifth in San Francisco. So if they can hang on, it's one game. Giants over the Dodgers by one game.
Ricardo Valenzuela tweeted me, actually emailed. You can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. Some comments from Dave Fleming. I think it's Dave Fleming, who's one of the broadcasters for the Giants.
Yeah, he's really good.
He says,
works
quote,
for ESPN too.
The rule change about the sticky substances that changed the Dodgers team, they're still good, still really good. Walker Buehler can no longer throw a fastball one after another by the Giants. Julio Urias can no longer blow the Giants away with pure stuff. It changed those guys. It did that, to me, changed the season. The Dodgers have been impacted by that more than anybody, which I view as total and complete garbage. The Dodgers pitching staff has had a 2.66 ERA since the crackdown on June the 21st. That is the best in Major League Baseball and better than the 3.22 they had. Their earned run average has actually improved since the crackdown on the sticky substances. This is a reach by Dave. I mean, I like Dave, but this is a reach for Dave Fleming.
Well, in the article that came out at the beginning of the season in Sports Illustrated, they said that the team that was doing the most of the sticky substance stuff.
Well, a source said.
Was the Dodgers. And so I think Dave is probably piggybacking off that. But it's interesting that the people that he mentioned, because the people that he mentioned are all in like the Cy Young race.
Yeah, since the crackdown, Buehler is 7-3 with a 2.27 ERA, and Arias is 8-1 with a 2.38 ERA. Those are two guys he mentioned specifically, and they have been better since the crackdown than they were before.
The Dodgers pitching staff, the reason it's so good is those three guys: Scherzer, Buehler, Urias. If you want to pick on the other guys, go ahead. But if you draw one of those three guys, chances are you're losing.
Can you believe we're in a world where Clayton Kershaw might be the game four starter?
Or he might be the game one starter, depending on how the weekend
On how we go down to the wire, you're right. If it goes down to the wire, we're not going to be able to set a rotation, which would be really difficult to set up the playoff or to set up a one-game playoff. Like, we may not have the luxury of throwing Scherzer in a one-game playoff.
Yeah. Hey, let me circle back to this Lakers thing for a
second.
Yes,
please.
Because I think that having Carmelo, who is a very good three-point shooter at this stage of his career.
Had a really big jump last year as a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter.
In that lineup that you describe, Westbrook at the one, LeBron at the four, AD at the five, leaves somebody wide open at the three-point line. It's just a question of who do you want that to be? And you can, by the way, you have two spots.
Yep.
So I noticed, I saw some video today at a drill that they were running at practice that Talen Horton Tucker's shooting like, you know, hundreds of threes every day, which would give you a big defender on the court. And so if you match that up with Taylor Horton Tucker and Melo, so in essence your guards would be Westbrook and THT, your front court would be Melo, AD, and LeBron. By the way, that's an all Hall of Fame front court.
Yeah, right.
I think that team would be really hard to defend.
So you say THT and Melo. I say Ellington and Bazemore.
Or Ellington and Nunn.
And Nunn, exactly.
You know, this is going to be.
Going to be like chess pieces. I mean, Frank
this
Vogel is going to be playing
chess.
This is why
Frank gets paid the big bucks. Yeah, is he's got to find combinations working. A lot of it will be matchup based. You know, if the other team's bigger, then you go with maybe my lineup. If the other team's smaller, you maybe go with yours. I'm so high on Westbrook coming to the Lakers and running this whole thing that I think they're going to get out to a great start. You know, people look at that 2004 team as a failure because it didn't win the title. But that team with Peyton and Malone and Shaq and Kobe started, I think it was 18 or 19-3. And I think depending on health, this team has a chance to jump out of the gate like that. I think they could have a really good start.
Well, we are very front-loaded with home games. That's the other thing. The big road games are later in the season, but a lot of home games to start the year. You start with a three-game homestand. I guess we call it a homestand. Two on the road, five-game homestand, one on the road, six-game homestand before you go out on the road. So we got a lot of home games to start the year.
Hey, Bergman.
Which is a huge benefit to getting out to a fast start.
Yes, sir.
If I gave you, all right, first of all,
$1 million. Thank you.
For the purpose of this question, I'm going to give you a front row seat on October 3rd, okay?
Ooh.
So you're going to be right in front. For the purpose of this question, LeBron, AD, and Russ all play.
Uh-huh.
Durant, Harden, and Kyrie all play, okay? So you'd be in the front row for the first time those six would go head-to-head.
It would be amazing.
You could be at the Dodger game. Now, keep in mind, the Dodgers, if they're not playing for anything, could be playing all scrubs. Or you could be at the Ram game to see Kyler Murray and the Cardinals take on the Rams. If I give you a front row seat, but you can only pick one venue, what are you taking?
Well, do I get to know what the Dodgers are doing?
You have to decide right now.
I have to decide right now?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, that's so tough. It's really between the
Dodgers. Dodgers game could be for everything.
Right, it really could be.
Or could be all guys from Oklahoma City.
Yeah, it very well could be. I think, I'm going to take the Laker game for this one.
Even though it's a preseason game.
Because all six of those guys.
Six are going to go.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be like watching an Olympic workout.
Pretty much. Even if it's only for a half, because they're not going to play in the second half, or even a quarter.
Right. Well, obviously, you know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be at the Rams game because I paid a lot of money for those season
seats.
Well,
do you realize,
those seats for the
do
next
you realize,
50
look
years.
At our, Mace, look at our show. There's a chance I'll obviously be at the Laker game. You'll be at the Ram game. And if that Dodger game means something, Bergman might be at the Dodger game.
If it means something, I'm at the Dodger game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So all three of us could be at a game that day.
We could bring you complete coverage of the biggest day in LA sports history.
Right. And you saw they set Media Day. Media Day is going to be the 28th.
Is it going to be normal?
I don't know that. I would imagine that – if you don't have to be there in person, but you know what? I shouldn't even say that. I don't know. I don't know if they've decided more virtual or more in person. Well, I guess it remains to be seen.
TBD. TBD. Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you is Jump Ball. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Give you a quick update. Padres up on the Giants 4-0. They're top of the sixth. If the Padres hang on, we are exactly one game behind the San Francisco Giants in the National League West. All right, Bergman, what do you got?
All right, so Dennis Schroeder made a gigantic mistake, depending on who you talk to at least, by
everybody.
Yeah, pretty much everybody. By not taking the money the Lakers were offering him last season. Well, he decided to poke fun at himself on Instagram with a picture of him next to his luggage and him bent down with his face in his hands and a caption saying, "I'm going to do this one time. Insert your best fumble the bag joke here. It's my birthday. So let's get this over with and let's get back to business." John, what do you think about Schroeder veering into the skid, as you like to say, and poking fun at himself?
Smart. The best thing to do if there's an 800-pound gorilla in the room, walk up to yourself and introduce yourself to it. That's going to be Dennis Schroeder's legacy for now, unless he changes it. But, Mace, I think it's always smart to go self-deprecating, and he's handling this wisely.
I think that's a very smart play. I agree with you 100%. Hang a lantern on your problem, as they used to say. You know, own it, right? You got to own this. Everybody knows about it. Everybody's talking about it. The fact that you have a sense of humor about it, God bless the guy. I mean, I would be wrecked. I would be devastated if this happened to me.
And Greg, let me say, you say he made a tremendous mistake. Not if you're a Laker fan.
No, but he made a mistake.
But for us, it turned out to be kind of a good thing. It opened the door to get Westbrook, right?
What is this hang a lantern on your problems thing?
That's an old political expression.
Yeah, Court justice who said that.
Okay, weird.
But no, it's always when
what
you
are you buzzing about?
When you do something
smart guy expression.
When you do something stupid or embarrassing and you know everyone's talking about it, you should make fun of it because it's the only way to clear the room.
All right, so as you all know, and I like to say this about myself often, I'm a fashion icon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you certainly are, Greg.
Nobody has better style than me. Shorts and T-shirt never look so good.
Yes.
Anyway,
sandals.
That's my life goal. While looking for stories for Jump Ball, there are so many posts about the Met Ball. Stars from everywhere in outrageous fashion. So help me out here. Mace, you can start off. What is the Met Ball all about, and what's the appeal?
So it's some sort of fashion-y thing that they do in New York, and it's like Anna Wintour and Vogue and all that business. It's like a one thing a year where people pull out all the stops and dress goofily. You know, I have a great sense of style. I always begin with the basics, hoodie and sweatshorts, and then I accessorize with a ball cap. That's me.
I don't think you would be allowed into the Met Ball. I like the Met Ball because it's like, and it brings together all walks of life. Like all of the gossipy people that I like get invited to the Met Ball. Yep. Athletes like Westbrook went to the Met Ball this
year. Reality stars.
Yeah, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander went to the Met Ball. I'd love to go to it one time just to see all those outfits in person. But it is
Ireland. You have a pretty good sense. When on game day, you look good.
Yeah, especially when I was doing TV, I dressed up. But now that I don't do as much TV, I don't dress as
you don't dress as fancy as you used
as
to?
Fancy as I used to.
You don't wear a suit?
Well, this past 2 years, because of COVID,
right.
Nobody
they
really
throw
goes
those out.
I don't know what I'll go back to. Yeah, I'll wear a suit. I don't know if I'll wear a tie all the time. But I'll always wear a suit. Michael doesn't always wear a suit. Stu Lance is very well dressed.
Oh, he is.
He's probably the best dressed guy on the broadcast.
You know,
crew.
It was scary one night. I was going down the press row, and we were in the
as
Stu Lance.
You should not joke about this. This could have gotten you kicked out of Staples Center forever.
So I'm edging down the row, right, trying not to bump into anybody. I bump into Stu Lance's jacket falls on the ground. I'm like, oh, my God, I have destroyed Stu Lance's ensemble.
Yeah, that could have been the end of you.
Yes, could have been. He could have snapped his fingers, and he'd do the Thanos on me, and I'd be gone.
Yeah. But Greg, the Met Ball is worth looking at pictures just to see who dresses up the most and what they wear. You know, what's getting a lot of attention this year is apparently at one point Westbrook was wearing a skirt. I don't know if he was doing it at the Met Ball, but maybe like the day before the Met Ball, because Russell wear anything. And then there's always like famous people like Beyonce and Jay-Z go to the Met Ball.
Yeah.
And so you'll if it chances are if they're a famous person, they're invited to the Met Ball. It's just a matter of whether or not they go.
So, John, when the buzzer goes, you're supposed to move on to the next topic. We went into overtime on that one.
Okay.
All right, no problem. LeBron James is around 3,000 points away from passing Kareem for the all-time points leader in the NBA history. Kareem has come out and said that he is excited to see it happen and doesn't see records as personal accomplishments, but more as human achievements. He did come from the John Wooden school, but come on, John, do we believe Kareem?
If I was the NBA's all-time leading scorer, I would want to die with that record. I don't think Kareem's a pretty honest guy. We've interviewed him a bunch of times. So, but Mace, wouldn't you like to go to your grave as the NBA's all-time leading scorer?
Oh, I'd be devastated. I would be devastated if LeBron
And by the way, LeBron
him.
Is going to catch him. LeBron only needs to average 18 points a game for the next 2 years, and he catches him.
Well, you know how competitive I am. I want to take the very last Bob Miller Award to my grave for best sports talk show in Los Angeles. So, yeah, no, I you know, I guess you got to be magnanimous. That's what Kareem is doing. He's being very magnanimous and saying, oh, it'd be great. And in the back of my head, I would say the right thing, but in the back of my head, I'd be like, oh, damn, man.
By the way, interesting thing, when LeBron's done, he's going to be the only player ever to finish top 10 in points and assists in NBA history, which is pretty impressive.
All right, so we don't like to give the San Francisco Giants much credit around here.
No, we hate them.
As you've seen all day today.
They're evil.
And rightfully so. But they did something in last night's game that kind of needs to be talked about. In between innings, stadiums like to post messages on the big board. John, your mom got one in Anaheim the other day welcoming her, right?
Right.
Right. So, well, the Giants posted on that board and said, "Happy divorce, Max. Back in the game." Max then stood up with a huge smile on his face and his arms in the air in celebration. So what do we think of this message, and have you seen a better message than that one?
I like it. Mace, half of the people who get married get divorced. Half, 50%. So, and a lot of people have a tremendous sigh of relief when their divorce gets finalized. So I have no problem.
By the way, both sides.
Yeah.
It can be messy. Both sides can be happy when it becomes final.
By the way, Bergman, do you know why divorce is so expensive?
Why is that?
Because it's worth it.
That's true. It's so true. It's so very true.
God,
so.
I used to work with a guy, John, I won't say, in TV, who all he did was talk about his two ex-wives and how much he had to pay him.
Yeah, there are a lot of people like that.
There's a guy on the station that does that.
But I'm happy for anybody who gets a fresh start. And some people shouldn't have, you know, some marriages don't take. They just don't take. I don't think either one is necessarily, I have no problem with them celebrating it. Do you, Mace?
No, I think it's actually kind of cool. It's funny. You get a laugh out of everybody. I mean, that's one of the reasons, by the way, that Juan and I are not married, is there's this idea that if there is a piece of paper that is signed, sealed, and delivered, that something would go wrong. It seems to be going right now for almost 16 years, so why screw it up with a marriage?
Yeah, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That way, too. Hey, Greg, is that it, or do you have one more?
I mean, I was saving it for tomorrow. Because we already
talked. I have something I want to bring up.
Okay, good.
So that's it for Jump Ball. Mace, we should explain that there's a reporter who covers USC for the Daily News named Scott Wolf.
Oh, yeah, Scott Wolf.
We've had Scott on the show.
He's despised by USC last time I checked.
Which is interesting because he went to USC. But right. Scott really holds their feet to the fire. He's probably more critical of USC and gets more inside information than almost anybody else out there. So I always, when he reports something about USC, I always take it seriously because I know he's working it. He just tweeted this, quote, "I hear that USC's top choice for the job is Oregon coach Mario Cristobal."
Oh.
What do you think of that?
Love that. I mean, Oregon obviously had their big signature game this last week with the win at Ohio State. He is a monster recruiter. Of course, came from the SEC and has really rebuilt that Oregon program that was struggling there under Helfrich and some of those guys.
Yep.
So Mario Cristobal, I think, is an excellent choice for head coach.
And Scott just tweeted again to back that up. That does not mean that he's interested or that he will get it. He has just been identified.
Interesting. I'll tell you what. When we come back next, Mario Cristobal was actually asked this very question earlier today. And we'll listen to his answer next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.